Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Pre-Friday show, Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn, on XIG underscore Kuhn 71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning. On XIG Dunning 929. Connor, how's it hanging?
Great.
Good to hear.
It's going to be a fun show today.
Yeah, we have some P.J. Haggerty news. How about that? He commits to the University of Memphis. Penny gets his staple of next year's team first. That is big, and I'll explain why in just a moment. Also, throughout the show, we're going to talk some Grizzlies. Grizzlies got a dub last night. That was a fun dub. That was a really fun dub.
Brandon Clark is so back.
Well, he is so back, and also, Jaren Jackson Jr., his last two games against the Bucks, he's a Bucks killer. He really is. 71 points in 64 minutes in his last two games against the Bucks. Last night, just watching him abuse Giannis on the first basket of the game, he just backed into him and trucked right over him. If you have any second guesses about who he is as a player at this point, stop second guessing. He ended that game with a step back corner three and started it by trucking Giannis for an easy bucket at the rim. But we'll talk about that. We're a week into the Major League Baseball season, so at some point, probably around 5:30, we will get into a weekend review of Major League Baseball season. Get to some of the highlights, and one of the highlights is Connor was fist pumping behind the glass because his Red Sox,
stop the count,
they're playing pretty damn well, man. They're pitching really well.
They are.
They're leading the league through a week in ERA 1.5. That's pretty
ridiculous. That's totally gonna last.
Yeah, exactly. Stop the count. Seriously, stop the count. We do have some coaching carousel news in college basketball. Eric Musselman off to USC. How's Arkansas going to replenish him? We'll talk about that in the Blitz. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show at 5 o'clock. Then at 6 o'clock, bring on David Cobb from CBS Sports to talk some college football and some college basketball. We'll have him pick a winner. We'll have him pick a winner for Monday's National Championship.
He's also got some splaining to do about our guy.
Yeah, he does have some splaining to do about P.J. Haggerty. But he has So David Cobb, for those that don't know, at CBS Sports, does his transfer portal rankings and puts player rankings on the site. And he originally had P.J. Haggerty at 47. Now, overnight, I don't know if it has to do with the commitment to Memphis. I don't know if he rethought it and just thought better of it. but he has moved him up 30 spots to 17 in his transfer portal rankings. On three, and this is what I was saying, on three has him as the number three guy. Number three guy in the transfer portal. So this was a good one. Now, before we get into that, I do have to get to my highlight of last night. My highlight of last night. Did you see Rangers versus Devils?
I absolutely did. I watched it like five times. It was incredible.
How that game opened up. A 5-on-5 brawl to start the game. And there's a little bit of history there that I was not familiar with until last night. But Matt Rempe is, I think, either a first. He might be a rookie. I think he's 21 years old. He is like 8 feet tall.
He's a youngin.
He's 8 feet tall.
But he's giant, yes.
I mean, he is 6'7", but on skates, he's at least 7 foot. But apparently he elbowed one of the Devils players. He plays for the Rangers. He elbowed one of the Devils players, and that player ended up getting a concussion. So now this time around, they knew what was up immediately. And both these teams are in the thick of the race. They don't like each other. Jersey versus New York, get all that. There's already bad blood there. But they dropped the puck, and within 2 seconds, all five guys were picking out a partner to go throw their dukes up with. That was phenomenal. Eight ejections later, there was like, I mean, the other two that did not get ejected were 5-minute majors for fighting. That's great. And what strikes me about, you know, hockey fights is they just don't care. Like, they dropped the puck was on the ice. Like, there is a game that could have been played. And they don't care that the puck's on the ice in the slightest. They just go after each other. It was predetermined. And they knew they were going to get ejected in all likelihood. That's just great stuff. I mean, that is the equivalent of in a basketball game, in an NBA basketball game, they throw the ball up and everybody picks out a guy and they get into a full brawl.
I'd like to see it.
Well, we know basketball fights.
I love the decorum, though, of hockey fighting. Like, put your dukes up, my friend. It's like fisticuffs time.
In every other sport, and they grab each other and just start swinging. In every other sport, referees will take their time to break up the fight. Do everything they can to break up the fight. Watching the referees last night in that Rangers-Devils game just step back. They're like, I can't do it. Hey, what do you want me to step in there?
Gentlemen,
you want me
brawls.
To step in there between these guys right now? There's five different fights.
Well, that's the best part. There were five fights. I think there was only four refs. So they didn't have enough referees for the fights, which is fantastic. And before the fight even happened, there's a video now of Rangers players doing smelling salts.
They're doing the smalts?
Doing smelling salts right before the puck got dropped because they were getting ready. They were getting in the mindset.
Yeah, they're trying to get, you know, it clears the nasal cavity and try to get your breath about you because you know about to swing a whole lot. I love it. I think hockey fighting is right up there at the top of all sports when it comes to, like, just sort of the extracurriculars, what we enjoy about sports. I never want to see it go. Now, I know in the playoffs they try to nip it in the bud. They don't like fights in the playoffs. But during the regular season, they just let everybody go. But it's great.
I thought it, before I knew the backstory, I thought it was just straight up New York versus Jersey. Like, I was like, oh, is that why they're fighting? Like, I had no idea. I had no backstory to it, but it was awesome.
But watching Matt Rempe out there, he's only 21 years old. He's, like, slender. Watching him try to fight is kind of funny. He is, they list him at 6'7", and he's probably 185. He is just like the slender.
He's
man.
Listed
he's like
at, eight, at he looks, 240.
It looks like he is 400 feet tall out there, no matter who he's fighting against. It's unreal.
Hockey
but that
players
was great.
Are the sneaky, oh, they're giant human beings.
Yeah.
I will never forget, one time in college, I was at a certain bar on Highland.
Okay.
And a fight broke out between the hockey team and I think some football players.
Oh, really?
And the bathroom was destroyed. Like, urinals ripped off the wall. It was mayhem. I think you
All
may
right.
remember this.
No, I don't remember it.
It was a big deal.
They have hockey at Memphis?
I don't know if it was a Memphis player.
Club,
I don't know,
maybe?
But I just knew that this was a group of hockey human beings.
Now,
and
here's
they threw
the real
down.
Debate, Connor. And I'm going to leave this up to you because I'm clearly biased.
Okay.
Who's tougher, hockey or football?
Probably hockey. Probably hockey.
It's less contact, but the contact is way harder.
If you had asked me, like, 70s football, I would have given you probably football. But, like, it's different now.
Yeah.
Hockey's tough, dude.
Yeah.
These guys.
Well, they're skating at 25 miles per hour and just drilling
and
each other.
They're 7 feet tall.
Yeah. So I guess I get that. I don't know. I think I still – I mean, and obviously – if we get went position by position, there are tougher groups of football players than hockey players in general. O-line, D-line. You have to give them credit for
it. Sure, the trenches, but, yeah.
Trenches. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, DBs.
Listen, in
and
one
I'll
league,
give linebackers. I'll put linebackers in the same category as O-line, D-line.
You can't fall on quarterbacks anymore. So that's why I gotta give it to hockey right now at the moment. But it's no disrespect to football.
But then also, like, we do have a lot of examples of, like, hockey players skating on broken legs.
Yes.
And, like, but also, I mean, if you rewind it, in the old wives' tale, Ronnie Lott got his finger severed off so he could play in a playoff game?
I have no idea. Sure.
Yeah, so there's that. Ronnie Lott, Hall of Famer. So I don't know. It's up for debate. I want to hear from the people out there. Hit us up at @G_Coon71, @CDunning99. Who's tougher, hockey or football? Now into Tiger basketball. Penny does it again. And there should be no surprise at this point. Penny just makes it happen out there in recruiting. And he's done way better on the transfer portal the past few years. It's something that he really wants to attack. And given that, you know, the roster is completely bare at this moment, besides Nick Jourdain and Ashton Hardaway on scholarship, he's going to have to do more. I would imagine this is the first domino to fall. But P.J. Haggerty from Tulsa commits to Memphis. And I want people to get out of the mindset that, okay, he's going to put together an AAC all-star team, and P.J. Haggerty went to Tulsa. How good could he actually be? I know what the stats say, you know, 22 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, about 4 assists per game. I know what it, you know, what his stats say, but he was at Tulsa, and they weren't very good. He didn't play winning basketball. Don't forget that this was a guy that Jamie Dixon at TCU ended up recruiting. He was a high major recruit coming out of high school. But what I like about this commitment being the first one is you have the guy right there that you know will be the cornerstone of your program. And now you can build around him. You don't have to worry about getting all the shiny objects with the most points. You can go build around him, find defense, find three-point shooting, because that's something that he struggles with. Only 29% from three last year, even though he put up 2.5 per game. I think he can grow in that category, but he's better at attacking the rim and getting into the mid-range. He was a 50% field goal guy last year for Tulsa. But getting him first is so massive, because now you can just focus on building around him, because you know that you're going to copy and paste similar numbers, especially playing in the AAC, to what he had last year at Tulsa.
Yeah, the P.J. Haggerty was a massive get. I think he was number one on all of our wish lists for guys that you hope Penny Hardaway can go out this offseason and grab. We got to see him up close and personal when they played Tulsa a few times this season, and every single time people just kept saying, man, that guy, could you imagine
He's
him
a
as
dog.
A tiger? He's a dog. Absolute dog. And like you said, not only is it exciting because he's a player that can come in and have an immediate impact and help you play winning basketball next year, he fits the type of system that Penny Hardaway wants to play, but he is also one of those guys that you can envision being here more than one season. Now, he's the type of player that he has the talent that if he pops next year, he might want to go ahead and move on to the next level. That would be understandable, but he is someone that you could potentially build your program around. He is one of those quote-unquote pillars that we have been saying that you need to go out there and get. And you bring up the three-point shooting, and he definitely didn't shoot great from three last year, but you also said he only shot it about 1.5 times per game. When you go and you look at his game logs, it's pretty clear that, you know, some games he would go 4-for-4, some games he would go 2-for-4, some games he would go 0-for-2. But it was interesting because he was still able to score 20-plus a game without that three-pointer, which means he is really effective at getting to the rim, he's really good at getting to the free-throw line, and he's good in the mid-range. And that's somebody that you can start with. I'm happy about it. His defense is solid. Great get by Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, and by no stretch of the imagination am I going to say that he's Gary Payton on the defensive end.
Right.
But he did have around 2.4 steals per game last year. And he's bigger. He's bigger in stature than a lot of the point guards Penny's been running out there the past couple years. Like, he's way bigger than Alex Lomax, way bigger than Kendrick Davis, bigger than Javon Quinterly. And I don't know if you watched the Tulsa versus Memphis game, but there was a steal late in that game that kept Tulsa in the game because P.J. Haggerty went out of his way. I think in the end of the day, maybe he's not the most talented defensive player, but what you need out of that guy at point guard who's going to be your leading scorer, who's going to be your volume shooter, you just need him to be a dog, to have him try out there on the defensive end. Because Kendrick Davis had a lot of shortcomings on the defensive end.
Sure.
But damn, did he try.
Yes.
And damn, would he get knockaways and make some things, turn some defense into offense every once in a while. He was just dealing with some shortcomings because of his height and his stature in general. I think P.J. Haggerty, You're not worried about his stature. He's 6'3", about 200 pounds. And I think he's shown that he really does care on the defensive end for the most part.
He gives
it
in.
That helps.
He's also going to show up every single game.
Now, as far as role is concerned, there's some questions out there, I guess, because he wasn't necessarily pass. He was not a pass first. He's not a pass first point guard by any stretch of the imagination. That's not what he did at Tulsa. And part of that has to do with he didn't have much around him to really get involved. But he's absolutely the point guard for this team going into next year. Like, there should be no questions about what his role is going to be. He's going to be on ball consistently, and he is going to be putting up shots. But he can pass, and he has some room to grow. So I've heard some questions about his role. He's going to be the starting point guard, starting one for this team next year.
I'd be very surprised. And like I said, you know that P.J. Haggerty is going to show up every single game. When you go and you look at all of his game logs from last season, he was consistent night to night to night. He never had a disappearing act, which, you know, the University of Memphis certainly had to deal with last year with their point guard. So that will be nice that you're not going to have to worry about that. You know, he had about 2.4 turnovers a game, which is not bad, but it's also not great. So, you know, but that's something that you can work with. And I really like that he stepped up in the big games. When you go and you look at their biggest games last season, P.J. Haggerty was always there. He was ready to play.
Great in the Memphis
He's somebody
game.
That, like you said, you just build around him. He's your point guard. You have one of the key pieces in place now. And it is exciting to now talk about the possibility of, hey, if a guy like David Jones comes back, all of a sudden, right. P.J. Haggerty and David Jones, not a bad place to start.
Yeah, a guy on the wing and David Jones.
And
we'll
Nick
see
Jordan.
What happens with that.
Yeah.
We'll see what
I'm
happens
I'm still about 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, based on his comments, I think a lot of people are back in because he made the comments on that podcast in the Dominican Republic that got translated by Parth. But I'm still about 50-50.
It feels like a coin flip.
I feel like the 60-40, 70-30, him coming back to Memphis, I think that ship has sailed for me. I'm not that positive about it.
No. It would be great. Would love to see him, but I still have some doubts.
Yes. Now, another guy they're involved in who visited this week was Dane Danger. Kind of curious about him and sort of what they think. He is a highly touted transfer portal recruit. Like, if you go look at David Combs' rankings, he's right there in the top 30. Averaged 6 points a game, around 4 rebounds per game last year at Illinois, but they switched up their style on the offensive end. Coleman Hawkins, they tried to stretch the floor, space the floor a whole lot better, and honestly, that move proved to be a smart move because they were the best offense in the country, according to KenPom, this past season. But Dane Danger, I'm curious about that fit. And I said it as soon as I saw that he was visiting, but 6'9", 270 pounds, very lumbering type athlete. He's a good player, but I just wonder how that fit would be here at the University of Memphis.
Yeah, I think his efficiency in scoring and his rebounding is probably what makes him appealing, because last year I think one of the key issues on the team was team rebounding, and that's where even when you look at a guy like P.J. Haggerty, he was a plus
right.
rebounder, and if you bring in a guy like Dane Danger, maybe it's, hey, this guy can come in, he's going to be a bruiser, and he's going to grab boards for you. And he can be a bit of a rim protector.
Yeah.
I'm open to it. I just don't have a take on Dane Danger.
His biggest strong suit, though, over the years at Illinois has been interior post scoring.
Sure.
And I just don't know if Penny is ever going to get the point, this team's ever going to get to the point to be very deliberate about getting somebody the ball in the post. Jordan Brown was that type of guy, and they never found a way to really make that happen.
Well, he was terrible, too.
I know, no, but he was a 19-9 guy. He was a lot more statistically inclined than Dane Danger, but Dane Danger has a similar skill set in the fact that you throw it into the post, he's supposed to be a post scorer.
I feel pretty confident in that.
It'll be better.
If Dane Danger comes to the University of Memphis, he's going to be better than Jordan Brown.
That's a pretty low bar. That's a pretty low bar. You know, if you set the bar low, you can always overachieve.
Listen, at this point, if he wants to come to the University of Memphis, I'll take him.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at, too, is, hey, they need bodies right now, and he is one. Right now, he is ranked 41st on David Cobb's transfer portal ranking, and, you know, I'll take him. I don't have a lot of thoughts on Dane Danger. I'm not going to pretend like I knew who he was until 5 days ago.
I watched him the past couple of years at Illinois, and he was decent 2 years ago. This year, he just had a diminished role, and that style.
Well, their offense changed.
Well, but that's the thing, though. Like, I watched their style last year at Illinois, getting up and down the floor, spacing the floor. That's why he had a worse year. And we know, what does Penny want to do? In all likelihood.
Sure, he wants to run.
Space the floor and run up and down the floor. And I think that they're high on him and they want to bring him in.
At the same
we'll
time,
see.
Though, like a player like Malcolm, he was successful.
And here's the truth of it, Connor. I know that P.J. Haggerty committed, and we're all happy about that. And we should be happy about that. But you have so many spots to fill. I mean, you just do. Even if David Jones comes back, you're going to have 9 roster spots to figure out. Or 8 if with Jared Harris, the one high school recruit. Like, I guess all the bodies that you could possibly get are their good bodies. You know what I mean? It's going to be a complete rebuild, and that's what it's going to be. But you started very hot with P.J. Haggerty. And I'm surprised it was this quick. P.J. Haggerty probably had a lot on the table out there for him. And it's funny to see, you know, the questions. You'll get some people in the fan base just sort of looking at how last year went. And they're thinking that that's going to affect Penny and his player-getting ability, especially with Slick Rick, too, on that staff. He's a player-getter. But you see people say, how does he keep doing it? You want to know why?
He's Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. it's not
copy
that
and paste.
Complicated.
He's one of the best NBA players ever.
It's really not that complicated why he's able to do it.
He's a recognizable brand.
But it never ceases to amaze me, though, regardless of what the year before looks like. Guys are ready to hop in here and go to work.
Well, that's why we've never doubted Penny's ability to go get the guys. It's just go find the right
here,
guys.
But it's also when they're here, are you able to get them to mesh? Are you able to get them to buy into your defensive schemes?
You've got to find the guys that fit your system and can mesh together. That's the lesson learned from last season, is that you can't just go get a bunch of offensive mercenaries and say, oh, they're going to win basketball games. It can look effective for a while, but if you lose your key defender, which they did last year in Caleb Mills, it can fall apart very quickly.
Yes, I look at the way the team was built 2 years ago, and I don't think people had high expectations for that team. They just, maybe they thought it would be a tournament team with Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams at the top, but all the other guys, Keontae Kennedy, DeMaria Franklin, like these, Elijah McCann, no one thought highly of those guys. They were coming from way lower divisions, taking a step up to come to Memphis. But
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They were guys who gave a damn on the defensive end and worked their ass off. And I think that's what this class needs to look like if they want to have that level of success going into next year, because you have the Kendrick Davis-type guy and P.J. Haggerty. Now you just build around him.
100%.
Yeah, and I'm glad he's got 3 years of eligibility.
I'm excited.
That's something they
P.J. Haggerty, he's a big get. He makes the next season. I'm looking forward to it already.
Yep, 100%, 100%. Now, we have the Final Four coming up on Saturday. Did you see the UConn travel issues?
I did see that.
NCAA statement: due to mechanical issues with original aircraft, UConn men's basketball team has experienced a delay and is now projected to depart approximately at 10:30 p.m. Central Time. In conjunction with the school and charter airlines, the NCAA worked to develop several options for travel alternatives to Phoenix. We are very disappointed that UConn will arrive later than anticipated, and it's unfortunate the team's travel experience has been impacted. Now, does this impact them and how they're going to look coming up on Saturday against Bama? Do you feel any differently?
No.
No disadvantage?
No.
There's not a disadvantage big enough that's going to get me off of
UConn. It'd be different if it was like the day before the game, but it's like... But
there's no type of disadvantage besides 2 players blowing an ACL.
Yeah,
the starting
injury.
Lineup that is going to make me feel differently about this UConn team.
Yeah.
They're just a damn wrecking crew. And they have good coaching. They beat you in every different way, shape, and form. Every style you want to play, they will match it and exceed it. And yeah, this doesn't mean anything to me. Now, I do have some hypothetical matchups and spreads according to FanDuel.
Excellent.
Are we ready for these?
Hit me with them.
Alabama versus Purdue. It looks like Purdue would be in a 5.5-point favorite. I don't think anybody expects that to happen. NC State versus Alabama. Alabama would be a 4.5-point favorite. Purdue versus UConn. That's the one that we're focusing on, that we're very clear. I think most people think, if you're projecting, that's going to happen. 5.5-point favorite UConn would be in that hypothetical matchup.
Seems low.
That's really? Against Purdue?
I thought it would be at like 8.
That's just nuts, though. Even 5.5 is a huge number, though, and considering Purdue and how good they've been this year.
It's strictly, though, because of how UConn has been against the spread. Like, there's a piece right now on ESPN about their historic whooping of the spread right now. It has been crazy, the run that they're on.
They have not played a game in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years that's been 12 points or fewer.
That's insane. That's
it's just
insane.
It's just what it is at this point. And then the final one, and this line is fun. Let me set this for you. Would you think UConn versus NC State, would that be a – where would you put that line if you're guessing?
Based upon the others, 8.5.
15.5 is the hypothetical spread.
Holy
for
crap.
UConn versus NC State.
The DJ Burns disrespect.
Well, but they – could you – I mean, Donovan Klingon and DJ Burns, that type, I just can't see that going well. Now, I don't know if NC State playing Purdue – coming up at 5:00 on Saturday. I don't like my DJ Burns chances there either. That does not seem very
well. He struggled against Marquette.
Yeah, but that's it's going to be a really tough matchup for him.
Yeah.
I think that there is a real possibility that if they throw him out there and Kevin Keats says, hey, you're going to have to play defense against Zach Edey and we're not really going to give you a whole bunch of help there. Because if you do help on Zach Edey, there's going to be a guy standing around the perimeter and they're 40% 3-point shooting team. If they throw him out there and go one-on-one, DJ Burns versus Zach Edey, which I think would be stupid, DJ Burns may foul out in the first 5 minutes. We saw the whistle that Zach Edey got against Illinois. I can't imagine that matchup's going to go any direction for DJ Burns. And DJ Burns, as much as I love his post game and what he does with his back to the basket, Zach Edey is 7'4". He has not had to deal with anything close to that in this tournament.
Is the biggest X factor remaining in the NCAA tournament the Zach Edey whistle?
I think it's up there. I think it's up there.
Because when we talk about UConn, like right when we were talking about the hypothetical UConn versus Purdue, you had to mention the fouls.
Yes.
Like Klingon could get in foul trouble immediately. DJ Burns, we're expecting him to be in foul trouble.
Well, Klingon has an ability to be straight up and defend without fouling. He's a really good post defender.
If he can't push back again, that's what drove me so crazy in the Tennessee game. It was guys that were just trying to have position in the paint against Edey were getting a whistle. And it's like, what are they supposed to do? Just let him walk to the basket?
I guess so. But that led to 40 and 16, so I'll tell you that. And then Alabama, UConn. I think UConn's going to get over top unless something crazy happens. But Mark Sears is going to have to, if they want to stay in this game, Mark Sears is going to have to be unreal. It's an 11.5-point spread against Alabama.
Wow.
They've been awesome this entire year. But Mark Sears is going to have to probably drop 35-40 if they want to stay in that game and be consistent.
I can't lie. I enjoy upsets. I will be disappointed if Purdue and UConn don't win.
You want to see that matchup.
You want to see
the behemoths.
Yeah.
You want to see Edey versus Klingon and see how that goes. But we'll see. We'll see. I like Mark Sears, by the way.
I also enjoy watching a future Memphis Grizzly.
Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
Klingon.
I'm talking about Edey. Yeah, of course.
I saw him projected at 7th in the was it Bleacher Report? Bleacher Report and Tankathon had him at 7th to the Grizzlies. So
deal.
Yeah, I would take it. I guess the only concern would be, do you want to start a rookie at center?
Just because you draft him doesn't mean you have to start him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could give him some breathing room there. Brandon Clark's looked really good. So you could throw him in to start the year.
And I still like the Drummond idea. Drummond could work.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But we need to talk some Grizzlies. They had a dub last night. They got a dub last night.
Huge dub.
Go ahead and grab a break, and we'll talk about that dub, and we'll get into more conversation about the Grizzlies coming up next, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Grizzlies have two wins in a row. How about that? And a big win last night against the Bucks, and they complete the season sweep over the Bucks. They're 2-0, one on the road, and then one at home. They won 111-101. They got their 26th win. And I just can't get over the fact the Grizzlies are one of the funniest teams to watch in the NBA. They have nobody out there. They're completely decimated. But of the terrible teams in the NBA, they're easily the most competitive. And it's not even close. They will come out every single night and they'll give it their all regardless of the situation. Now, I think the Bucks are the perfect team for them to be matched up against, because the Bucks don't seem to have any level of playoff competitiveness at this point. And obviously they were missing Dame last night, so that's a big miss. But to watch them absolutely get abused in the paint by the Grizzlies, 76-36 was the deficit that the Bucks had in points in the paint. The Grizzlies are dead last in paint scoring this entire year. And I know that's been a calling card of them with Ja Morant and everything else the past few years, past couple of years. But they're dead last in paint scoring, and they absolutely abused the Bucks every step of the way last night. Jaren, I can't say enough about his competitiveness even at this point in the season. I mean, we're talking about a guy who at this point has played 66 games. He leads the roster with availability at this point. He's played 66 of a possible 66 games and started 66 of a possible 66 games. And to start April, he had a 40-piece against the Pistons, and he follows that up on the road against one of the Eastern Conference best with a 35-piece. And what continues to strike me about his game is I can count on about three fingers the type of guy, the type of person that can do what Jaren Jackson can do on the offensive. And not only is it the ISO scoring, but if you just look at how that game in the arc of Jaren Jackson's game last night, the first 2 points the Grizzlies scored, they gave him a post touch, a high post touch, and he backs down Giannis, puts him directly on his ass, and puts it into the hoop for an easy bucket at the rim. And then by the end of the game, to give the hammer nail coffin from Pete, he has a step back corner three with two guys in his face. I mean, there are not a lot of players that play basketball in this universe, in this world, that can do what Jaren Jackson can do on the offensive end. Now, I think throughout his career, we've seen, you want more consistency. You want to see him continually be aggressive in trying to get to the rim. We're seeing that at the highest of levels. We're seeing the ISO scoring and even the late shot from the corner. It's just unreal to see what he can do night to night. And we've talked about it in the past. I know that it's a small faction of people that focus on Jaren Jackson Jr. and the rebounding and the fouling. And honestly, I think we should focus on the fouling because he needs to be on the floor if he's going to be effective. But the more I watch him, I will just continue to implore folks, focus on what he is and stop focusing on what he isn't. I think most people get the picture in that regard, but last night's game was one of the best start-to-finish offensive games I've seen from Jaren Jackson Jr. He was doing it on all three levels, everywhere on the floor.
He was the best player on the floor last night.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is a special basketball player, and what's really exciting about it is this isn't the peak of what he's going to be. He is still improving as a player. And the leap he has made this season on the offensive end of the basketball, it is one of the reasons why people around the NBA are starting to talk about how dangerous this Memphis Grizzlies team could potentially be next season. And a huge part of it is Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be their third option on probably most nights. And he's one of the best ISO scorers in the NBA. He can stretch you out to the three-point line. He can hit you with the floater. He's damn near impossible to guard on the offensive end of the basketball. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting. He has taken this season and he has turned nothing into something for his game. And that's extremely exciting moving forward.
Yes. I just, I, the, the, just the differentiation and where he's getting his shots from as opposed to the rest of his career. And obviously he's got more opportunity, and we see Point Jaren at times where he's just taking ISO from the top of the key and going and getting to the rim. But the differentiation in the looks he's getting and the way he's finishing around the rim at the highest of levels, that's very, very exciting.
He's been really aggressive. That's what's exciting, is he is recognizing the moment he gets a mismatch, he's attacking it immediately.
Yes, and even if it's not a perceived mismatch at this point.
Even if it's Giannis.
Even if it's Giannis. He's trucking him and getting him getting right to the rim. It's just, it's different. Now, without being captain of the obvious, or not trying to be captain of the obvious here, Brandon Clark looks good. Yeah, Brandon Clark looks just about like Brandon Clark looked before injury. I think we're missing a little bit with the athleticism, but that will come as he gets more minutes and he gets back into the swing of things. But another game of double-digit scoring, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 7 for 10 from the field. He actually had a nice, like, seeing his mid-range game right now, his shot looks relatively good coming off injury. But that's exactly what I wanted to see from Brandon Clark, to be enthused about him going into next year, is what I've seen through 4 games.
It has been better than expected.
Yes.
Way better than expected. I thought that it would take, you know, until the very like last few games of this season to see this version of Brandon Clark. And he is already, he's shown up, and he doesn't have as much bounce as he did in the past. Like you said, we're still waiting for the big Brandon Clark.
Haven't seen a
lob
dunk yet.
That'll be an exciting moment, but he's giving
I may
you,
ascend into heaven at this point, but because he's building up.
He's looking very good on the defensive end of the basketball. He's helping your rebounding immediately, and he's scoring efficiently. He's shooting 60% right now from the field, and that's exactly what you want from Brandon Clark.
Yeah, I did not see this coming fast.
And isn't it amazing? I talked about it the first game he came back. Don't you just feel better about the Grizzlies when you look up and you're like, 15's on the court?
Yes.
And you just feel good about yourself. When 15 and Jaren Jackson Jr. are out there, you're like, anything can happen. You feel like they have a puncher's chance when they have the two.
And those lineups with Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark death lineups are so back. They're so
dude,
back.
Dude, and then you throw Vincent?
Yeah. By the way, are we
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it
at this moment. He's been ruled out for the past three games. Doubtful previously.
I'm a little worried.
They say it's patellar tendonitis.
Not good.
I don't know, Connor. I think the PTSD of Steven Adams is starting to kick in for everybody, right?
And this entire season?
Yes. Yeah. But
for real, think about it. Ja, Bane, Vince, BC, and Jaren. Oh.
Yeah. Now, the Grizzlies last night, they were just straight up disrespecting the Bucks.
The Bucks ain't got no heart, dude.
They don't
He's throwing the bus under the bus.
He said, what did he say the previous game when they lost to the Wizards? He said, after the game, everyone seems happy except for me.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
But, like, the Grizzlies have finished 2-0 against them during the year. We had the Jaren truck of Giannis, like just not even caring.
The LaRavia block of Giannis.
And by the way, sidebar, he kind of looks like an NBA player on the defensive end right now.
He is looking better. He's still not shooting well from the field, but he certainly looks better. That is also like he was a zero, so he's better than a zero, yes, which is great. I think where I am with LaRavia is I think it makes more sense to keep him over Z, mostly because of the contract situation. And at the end of the day, you're talking about the end of the bench.
That's where I'm at. He's a fine 13th or 14th guy heading into next year. And like from a monetary perspective, like it makes sense to let Z go wherever he needs to go and then keep Jake LaRavia on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've seen a little bit from him. I'm not going to act like I haven't seen some flashes.
He's definitely shown.
Now that he's healthy, he's shown way more in the way of flashes that help you. I still have not seen him finish with his left hand, though.
No.
I still have not seen that. Every time he gets to the left side of the hoop, he does that sort of fade away, tries to throw it off the glass with his right hand. It is what it is.
It used to be a dead body, now there's a heartbeat.
Yes, I'll take it. That helps. Now, the Bucks have lost double-digit favorites 2 games in a row, one to the Wizards and one to the Grizz. And what really strikes me about those 2 games in particular is they're getting beat in any way you can possibly get beat by bad teams. Against the Wizards got up and down the floor like maniacs the entire game, played as fast as humanly possible, and the Bucks couldn't keep up. Then they get into it with the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are not doing that in the slightest. There wasn't a whole lot of turnovers. It was relatively clean. But you get into the half court and they get beat in the paint 76-36 on points in the paint. This Bucks team has, I'm worried about their pulse heading to the playoffs. You're supposed to be peaking right now. You're supposed to be showing that you're the second best team in the East, and they're not showing that. And what was it? Adrian Griffin was 31-13 with this team, right? Doc Rivers is 15-15. He's 500 with this Bucks team. And he's just throwing everybody under the bus. And I don't even know what he could say about last night. I made a joke on Twitter that, I mean, is he going to blame Jesus himself at this point? Like, who else can he blame along the way because of his team playing badly and he's not making any adjustments? He's just not. He's not it.
This is what he said. I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. We don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. Everyone seems happy, you know, except for me after our game. Isn't it kind of your job to make sure people are bringing that back? I mean, you and I had major doubts when he got hired because we were like, okay, I guess he'll come in and he'll make the pick and roll a little bit better. But at the end of the day, the major issues with the Bucks were their depth, their defense, and Dame wasn't playing the same way. And that is kind of continued, and Doc hasn't really fixed up that defense.
It's gotten worse.
Well, the defense has gotten better. The defense is a little bit better, but like the team is the same.
Regardless of schedule, I don't give a damn. If you go 31-13 with one coach and 15-15 with the other, yes. who was the better performer? Who was the better coach at that moment?
Sure, absolutely.
It's leaning Adrian Griffin by a mile and a half. And this is also the risk you run bringing in a brand new coach in the middle of the season.
Yes.
Because maybe he's not familiar with your personnel. He's not familiar with how to get across to them in the right way. And that's not going to jive by the time you get into playoff basketball. I mean, the excuses are going to run so damn deep by the time we get into playoff basketball with this Bucks team. I can feel it now. If the excuses are this bad at the end of the regular season, when you sort of have second in the East just about locked up, although I think they're only a half game ahead. So second or third in the East just about locked up. If the excuses are this bad right now, imagine what it'll be like as we get into the playoffs.
They're 1.5 games ahead right now of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they're 5-5 in their last 10. Luckily, the Cavs, they're 4-6 in their last 10, too. They've been dealing with some injury issues. But, you know, when you're 30-13 and your team isn't happy and you have to fire your coach, there's probably a mentality of, okay, we found the problem, we got him out, it's all going to be kumbaya moving forward. No, it turned out, maybe we're the problem. To be honest, some people need to look themselves in the mirror and say, could it be me? Was it Griffin, or could it possibly be my play or the roster construction or the way that we play defense? Doc came in and it's like, great, he's going to help the defense a little bit. He's going to run a pick and roll, which was the most obvious thing they needed to do anyway. But at the end of the day, they don't have the depth to be the quote unquote true contender that we thought they could be.
They just don't have juice right now.
They ain't got the juice. They ain't got the heart.
The only guy on that roster, and I'll give Giannis because Giannis is Giannis, but Bobby Portis off the bench is the guy that gives you the most juice on that entire roster at this current moment. Well, and they need Dame back in a huge way.
And the Middleton thing, he has not been able to get his lower body healthy consistently this season. Now, I know that they were like missing Chris Middleton and Dame, but they still shouldn't be losing to the Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies. They just shouldn't be at all if you want to be a real contending team. So, you know, they'll get reinforcements back with Pat Beverly and Dame and Chris Middleton, okay. But their issues go deeper than that. They've got a heart problem.
Yeah, and then, like, we talk about the regular season and Doc Rivers. He is a much worse playoff coach than he is in the regular season. And if he's this bad in the regular season, I don't know what I'm supposed to expect come playoff time. Now, the NBA is a very funny league. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
I mean, there's drama off the floor. And then, you know, the Grizzlies are a funny team in general, just beating the Bucks last night on the road for the hell of it, even though it doesn't really matter. And you have nobody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's to me, damn it.
But this is the funniest thing that happened last night. Malachi Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
50 points. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, 72% from the field in 34 minutes off the bench. Now, granted, the Pistons still lost to the Hawks 121-113. But Malachi Flynn is one of the bigger busts we've had in the past, 5 years? Easily. and just somehow in 34 minutes, randomly last night, decides to turn it on and score 50 points. Not many players in the NBA ever have the chance to score 50 points, but Malachi Flynn, of all people, joins that freaking list.
San Diego State legend.
Get the Malachi hell out of here, man. Get out of here.
It's so funny that they lost.
And you know, it's the most
Pistons thing of all time.
This is one of the better stats, too. The lowest career scoring average entering a 50-point game.
Yeah, he only scored eight a game,
he
right?
He set the record for lowest career scoring average entering a 50-point game. His career scoring average was 5.2 points per game. He dropped 50 in 34 minutes.
That's fantastic.
The NBA is just ridiculous, especially when you get to this
late
point.
Season.
When you get to this point in the season, when people sort of trying to take the foot off the gas, or some people are, you know, maybe sitting guys, getting ready for playoff basketball, whatever it is, and obviously you're way late in an 82-game schedule. People are going to slow down by then. I guess that you could see things like this, but it is just hilarious. How does that happen?
Well, this was the DeLon Wright triple-double era for the Memphis Grizzlies. Right. You know, like this is when he got those triple-doubles. So, yeah, late season NBA can get weird. Real quick, though, one more thing on the Bucks. They could still end up in the Eastern Conference Finals because they still have the talent, and the bottom of the East is, you know, they're dealing with injuries and it's not great. But
isn't it just because the rest of the East, I just don't know what I'm supposed
to say. It feels like it's Boston. Like, it feels like it's Boston's to lose. The Cavs, I think, have a punching chance. Unfortunately,
all the way healthy.
The Knicks news sucks. They were going to be really exciting to watch in the playoffs. They were going to be really exciting. And now it's like, though, opportunity for a team like the Magic, like a young team like the Magic, maybe injury makes opportunity for them. So I'm curious.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Bucks look like they're completely decimated, but I'm not going to count them out because the Cavs have been relatively hurt.
Right.
And Donovan Mitchell's wearing the face mask right now. And he didn't play overly well last night when I watched him. Magic are too young. The Knicks have no OG Anunoby or Julius Randle. I think the Heat. How about the Heat?
Zombie Heat?
The Heat are a team that you got to be scared. I mean, they were in the damn finals a year ago. So, like, why would you count out the Heat right now? They're in the sixth spot. Although they're tied with the Pacers, but they have the tiebreaker. The Heat could be a scary team. I don't think the Pacers are scary. 76ers with Joel Embiid back in the lineup, maybe. But like I can count on three fingers who I think could potentially win the East, and I mean the Bucks I guess I could put in there, but based on last night and the last two nights and the way Doc is going about his business, I'm sorry I don't know if I can buy it. Right.
If I had to pick my top three teams that could win the East, I would say Celtics, Bucks, Heat, and then I would have the Magic. I think right below. Okay. I think the Magic are punchy.
I think Celtics, Heat. And then sort of, weirdly enough, based on the way I've seen the Bucks play, I think Bucks and 76ers may have sort of the same amount of chance right now. But the 76ers are going to have to deal with the play-in, which is going to be,
I just wonder if there is a scenario where Bev comes back healthy, Dame comes back healthy, they get some health from Chris Middleton, and these vets make, like, a run. Like, I could see that. There is a and they still have Giannis. Like, Giannis is an X factor. It's just, the Doc thing is crazy. What's wild about it is if they had Griffin, I'd feel better about him. I do not trust Doc Rivers in the playoffs whatsoever.
Yeah. Now, in the Western Conference, there is still some things going on. It's serious basketball in the Western Conference right now.
Games matter. Yeah.
Because the Suns took over for sixth in the West after their win last night against the Cavs, and they have the tiebreaker over the Pelicans, even though they have the same record at 45-31. But the Suns are kind of it's a very interesting spot because they still have the toughest schedule left in the NBA. Six games left, and they're going to have Timberwolves, and then they'll have the Pelicans, who they're fighting against right now, so they could build up a little bit of a lead with that. But then Clippers, Kings, Timberwolves to end the year. Now, Timberwolves may be sitting guys by the end of the year, depending on how the whole thing figures itself out at the top. They're tied for first with the Nuggets, and then the Thunder are a game back. But all of these little mini races, as we get into the playoffs, besides the 10 spot, because the Warriors have built a 3-game lead now, to get out of the play-in is going to be pretty massive between the Suns, Mavs, Pelicans, Kings, and then for number one, between the Timberwolves, Nuggets, and Thunder. There's going to be some meaningful basketball in these last 6 to 7 games for everybody.
Well, because seeding and matchups are going to matter big time in the West.
100%. It's just so deep.
So deep. It's like the Lakers are 20-8 in their last 28 games, and they're the 9 seed.
Yeah. The Warriors have been playing better.
They have been. It's the Rockets have slowed down just a little bit, and that means they lost two games in a row.
you knew they were going to slow down. Also,
do you know what's happening tonight? Do you know? Rockets, Warriors, and Dylan Brooks is mic'd up.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I need the uncensored version immediately. Please.
I mean, they can release that on YouTube, right? There should be no issue with that. I wish I had an alternate channel we could go watch on just to hear the whole thing. Oh, that's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing.
That's going to be phenomenal. Now, FanDuel's putting the ball in your court for the rest of the NBA season because right now new customers can get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 if your bet wins. Bet on the NBA with a wide range of bet types, including quick bets, live same-game parlays, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K. And make your first bet a layup. FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, make sure you call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. As we transition into hour number two, you know who we need to talk to? That'd be Jeff Calkins. He's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.